Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated July 1st, 2016. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teagle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, hello everybody, Lord Baldrith here, still all alone. I'm waiting for Asclepius to return from vacation, which should be by next week. He should be back. That'll be great. And we miss him dearly. Hope he's having fun, though. Nevertheless. Very happy birthday wishes to Lord Bredish. His birthday on July 4th, which is on 4th of July, by chance. So good stuff there. And we have some events to announce at the end of the newscast. So good stuff there. And been a great week for me, aside from a lot of work. I've been playing a new release. Awesome stuff. I'm having a lot of fun, but yeah, there are some crashing issues with zoning for me. I haven't had any crashes inside the zones, but just back and forthing is getting me a little bit. So hopefully that's something they're getting into fixing for us all. But yeah, the cloak sim thing too, they say you take your cloak off, it's supposed to help with crashing. I haven't had a problem with that. I'm wearing a cloak with a couple of my characters, and I haven't noticed any crashing with my cloak. So, I don't know. Maybe that just depends on maybe your computer setup or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I know it's one of those things that they are definitely working on. And I've seen about three or four different updates as I've been trying when I'm going to log in. So, that's how it always is at the beginning of a release. You see a lot. Lots of updating, a lot of, you just turn your computer on, start the game up, because you know you've got to patch up a little bit, which is good. That means things are getting fixed, added, and everything else, and lots of good stuff going on. So let's get right into the news, because there is a lot of it this week, so I might be able to get us a little more time on this newscast. Let's see, so we have update of the Avatar number 183. Play release 31 now. Good news there. Release 31 post-mortem invite. Q3 2016 schedule, the new Elven armor, Brittany Estates, and more. Lots of good stuff, I'm telling you. All right, so let's start out here with play release 31 now. Release 31 successfully launched yesterday, June 30th, with thousands of backers downloading, patching, logging in, and checking out the new changes. There's lots of new content to explore, including new scenes, including Brittany Alleys and Brittany Wharfs. New user experience polish, including a completely reworked Solace Bridge. The new you in-game character customization. Gems unlocking specific enchantments on weapons. Salvage returning components at high skill levels. Revamped housing permission system. New camera effects, including depth of field and sharpness filter. And much more. So check out the Release 31 instructions update for detailed information about all the new content. And lots of that for sure. We need all your help with testing the new patches, putting more stress on multiplayer servers, and testing the new game content. So please join us in playing Release 31. If you have not backed the game yet, you will need to register and log in at www.shroudoftheavatar.com. Select the Pledge or Send Gift button in the right sidebar and purchase a pledge at the $45 adventure level or above. The basic adventure level pledge is also available on Steam Early Access. And also there's a couple links here to Release 31 Player Instructions and Release 31 Known Issues. So read through those so you can kind of see what's going on, what's changed, what's been added, what's having a problem, things like that. So your questions can be answered there before you actually ask support or post something on the forums. Very helpful to have read that a little bit. All right, also we have next a Release 31 post-mortem. Join us Thursday, July 7th at 3 p.m. Central for our monthly hangout of the Avatar. The team will be chatting about Release 31 and looking ahead to Release 32. Important updates coming this week on Release 32. And of note, let it be known that Lord Bredish and Darkstar will play host to a special Reliquary event, and blood will be spilled. Consider the squeamish among you forewarned. As always, we will be giving out awesome swag and answering your questions for a chance to win a prize. Join Discord chat during the broadcast. Be sure to stick around throughout the hangout multiple chances to win. Boy, I'm going down today, I'll tell you. Oh, FYI, I didn't have work today. It was the first day off on our long weekend for the 4th of July, so bear with me on my lack of concentration here. I love taking a day off, though. tweet with us at Shroud of the Avatar during the Hangouts to know when a winner has been announced. Watch here at 3 p.m. on Thursday, July 7th. Post your questions in the post here. Only one post submission allowed, and keep questions to 3 or less. This will allow us to get to as many players as possible. Please keep in mind that questions and feedback related to this release's specific topics will be given priority, and really verbose questions may be skipped, as they can challenge to shorten and summarize live on the air. That can be a challenge to shorten and summarize live on the air. In brief, please keep your questions brief. Thank you. So good stuff there. A little more, that's actually quite nice that they've started doing that. It keeps things a little more organized. Sometimes you'd see like one person writing in like 10 questions. It's like, really? Some of us other people have questions too. So I like that. So it's good stuff. All right, Shroud in the news. MMORPG.com, release 31, nearly move-in ready. Red Thomas wrote another interesting article for MMORPG, this time focusing on how we are getting ready for final wipe and lot selection. Here's an excerpt from Red's article titled, Release 31, Nearly Move-In Ready? Just a month until final wipe, in many ways, the 31st release for Shroud of the Avatar is summarized in that simple statement. So many things are right, a few things aren't quite there yet. There's a certain anticipation of finally being able to play in a truly persistent game state, and yet there's this nagging concern in the back of my mind that the concept might be a little too ambitious. Of course it's too ambitious. No one creative enough to develop video games is going to limit themselves to realistic expectations. Whatever mental switch most people have that warns them of projected danger is non-existent in the minds of entrepreneurs and game developers. It takes experience and great mental discipline to drive entire teams of that sort of people towards some semblance of a marketplace product, a process made even harder when it's done in front of the player base and with all the opportunities for comment that entails. With 1 month of development left until the final wipe, there are legitimate questions about whether the team can reach the expected state or not. In this month's article, we'll take a look at some of the bigger updates in this release, as well as a couple of other major shifts in direction for the team. Unlike the last major trajectory change with the targeting system, I'll explain why I like these a lot and why some people may not. Lastly, I'll also be spending a bit of time exploring the current state of the game with how it relates to the final wipe. Stuff of newness. The standard pace of new scenes continues unabated as the team rolls out a solid list of both player-owned towns and player-run towns, the latter being developed towns that are not owned by a specific player, but don't have any particular story element located in them. Think of them basically as empty developer place space to drop a house. New story scenes, mostly around Brittany, have been added. Also, several clone scenes have been placed in the more remote areas to even out resource gathering and adventuring space. And, you can read more. Good stuff there. That's, MMORPG is always very fair in their articles about the game. I'm always impressed with them. Being, you know, kind of just taking an honest look at things. It's really good to see. You don't have somebody that's just complimenting a game, yet you don't have somebody that's just criticizing the game. You got like a fair look. It's good stuff. So good there. Jerbear's top 10 upcoming MMOs of 2016 to 2017. YouTube host and Twitch streamer Jerbear picked Shroud of the Avatar as number 6 in his list of top 10 MMOs coming out in the next year in a recent video. So that's a good video you can watch. You can see what all 10 are. And good stuff. I actually watch those myself when I'm looking for games or I'm just trying to see what's going on. I'll watch those things because yeah, you can actually see some new cool upcoming games. So it's cool that Shroud of the Avatar made the list. I need to watch that and see which promos they used of ours. That's one of the things we've been talking about. Some new promos for our game that are not from 2014 would be lovely. All right. So continuing on, we have a Q3 2016 schedule update. From a forum post by Star Dark Star Long. Greetings, Avatars. As we stated previously, our goal is to, once per quarter, post an updated schedule for our monthly releases. Even though these goals will likely change somewhat as we react to feedback, we feel it is important to provide you an updated roadmap periodically. Our goal continues to be to deliver our backers content each and every month so that we can get feedback and use it to iterate improvements. This continues to benefit the game with sweeping changes like the switchover from use-based advancement, meeting that monthly goal is our highest priority. But we require flexibility in our deliverables in order to meet that goal. As you have seen in previous releases, sometimes we push things out, but we also often pull new things in. The third quarter of 2016 starts with a final wipe and lot selection and then moves on to steadily progressing through the list of features and content promised during our Kickstarter. As always, all dates, durations, and deliverables are subject to change as we adjust our designs based on direct feedback from all of you, our backers. So, release 32, July 28th, 2016. Final wipe. Please note that if you've been waiting to convert your purchases to store credits, these will be your final three chances to do so. As long as you do not claim your awards at bank, there will be three windows the week of release to convert your purchases to store credit. These windows will be on Monday, Wednesday, and finally on the day of release, Thursday. This will work exactly as it has in previous releases. Lot selection starting at 11 CDT. Players can begin selecting lots in the game in the order of their lot selection group. You can view your lot selection group on your account page. Story. The Love Path will get a major polish pass with a special focus on NPC behaviors in Soltown and Adoris. Greater Brittany will be finished with the addition of the final neighborhood of Brittany Estates, a plush area composed mostly of city-sized lots. Additionally, several NPC towns, including Spite, that are currently clones, will be replaced with original scenes. New user experience polish. Continued polish passes will be done on the tutorials, hints, and starting scenes, with special focus on the Isle of Storms and Blood River. Service hardening. We will continue a series of passes through the client authentication and server to harden the service for security and customer service. Special attention will be paid to the patcher. Player towns and player housing. Player-owned towns that have locked submission forms will appear in the game. New variations on the town templates may also appear. Performance. Major efforts will be done to optimize performance. This will include frame rate improvements, load time improvements, and memory footprint improvements. Multiplayer economic balance. A pass will be made through creature loot bundles, merchant pricing, property taxes, public vendor fees, harvesting rates, agriculture growth, crafting recipe ingredient amounts, and other factors to begin establishing an equilibrium for the multiplayer economy. Multiplayer combat balance. A pass will be made through combat skills, creature stats, player stats, advancement rates, zone difficulties, and other values to establish an equilibrium for multiplayer combat. Crafting. More enchantments and more masterwork modifiers will come online. Most decorations will be removed from NPC merchants and moved to recipes for crafters. Additionally, several homes will be craftable for the first time. Huh. Character. A polish pass will be completed through all hairstyles. So that's great. That's release 32 there. And lots of awesome stuff coming in. And I'm holding hope that my crafting quantities will go to a more reasonable amount on some of these things. But we will see. Release 33, August 25th, 2016. Story, The Polish, Pass. Through the love path of the story will continue with special focus on NPC behaviors in the town of Spite. Brittany NPCs will also get a behavior improvement pass. Additionally, several NPC towns that are currently clones will be replaced with original scenes. New user experience polish. Continued polish passes will be done on the tutorials, hints, and starting scenes with special focus on Highvale. Player towns and player housing. Player-owned towns that have locked submission forms will appear in the game. New variations of the town templates may also appear. Additionally, the lot deed lottery system for in-game purchase of lot deeds will come online. Offline mode combat balance. A pass will be made through the game to adjust combat balance for play in offline mode with companions. Offline mode. Patching and reward delivery for offline mode become available to players using this mode of play. Crafting, cooking, and the food system will expand with more recipes and more functionality, including more food buffs. Creatures, we will begin a major polish pass through our creatures. And then we have release 34 on September 29th, 2016. Story, a final polish pass will be completed through the love path of the story, and we will begin a polish pass on the courage path. Airy and resolute NPCs will no longer get a behavior improvement pass. Will also get a behavior improvement pass. Additionally, several NPC towns that are currently clones will be replaced with original scenes. Player towns and player housing, player-owned towns that have locked submission forms will appear in the game. New variations of the town templates may also appear. Offline economy. The economy in offline mode will be tuned to be better balanced for single player. NPC merchants will buy player and crafted items at a profit to the player, for instance. Additionally, pledge and add-on store items will be available from NPC merchants for purchase with in-game gold. Crafting. Recipes will become teachable, much like emotes. Agriculture will get a polish pass and some new content. Creatures. We will continue a major polish pass through our creatures. And roving encounters, potential encounters, wandering merchants, monsters, etc. will appear on the overworld for players to engage or to avoid. So that's good news too. We've been waiting on those encounters. So good stuff there. Very good. That covers the quarter there. We continue to be incredibly thankful for the support we receive from this amazing community. While the funding you provide makes all of this possible, it pales in comparison with the faith you have in us, the feedback you provide us, and the content you are making for everyone to enjoy. We are humbly grateful, and we cannot wait to see you again in New Britannia. Before I go, I wanted to include an excerpt from my original post about early release schedule that is important to set the framework for our ongoing schedule. As a crowd-funded and crowd-sourced project, we feel it is incredibly important that we provide our backers with information and access well before game studios would normally do so in a traditional development model. Traditionally, the players are given information and access only after the development team has already decided exactly how things will be done, and at times, even after it has already been implemented. By the time the public normally has access to the product, there's usually no time to meaningfully react to the public feedback. Shroud of the Avatar is different than the traditional model, as we intend to offer our backers extremely early access to information and even the game itself. With that said, we also want to be very careful that we only provide access to portions of the game when they are ready for a wider range of feedback. If we can play it internally and we know it is not ready, then there is nothing to be gained by having a wider audience come to the same conclusion. In fact, it could be quite damaging to do so. Our strategy over the next few months is to provide you with focused and iterative releases of content. Your feedback during these releases will be critical to making the final product the best it can be, and we appreciate that you are all so willing to devote your time to helping us. With each release, we will have specific tests we will ask of you all to make. As we get closer, we will send instructions on how to download, install, report bugs, etc. After each release, we will review the results and reevaluate the plan, including the duration of availability of each release. Please note that game data will be wiped periodically during early access. It is important to note that all dates, durations, and deliverables are subject to change. Sincerely, Star Long, executive producer, Shroud of the Avatar. So very good stuff there, and lots to look forward to. And just a little FYI, and I was going through some of the things that they added this release, and one of the things I saw was they've done levels of detail on some things, and the first thing that really caught my eye was they did a level of details on some of the buildings that we got on stretch goal buildings, like the shed. They've added a door to it. Just a little FYI, that kind of excited me, because one of the things I always wished it had was a door, and it does now. And the same, the beds work better now. There's some things that they did some level of details on. You can read through on those instructions there, and the details of what they added, so in case you're curious about something. So good stuff there. All right, moving on here to Elven Armor. Last week, we updated you on the polish work that Fletcher Skullmuncher 34 Kinnear was performing on the Elven Armor from the now-expired Elven Stretch Goal. We showed you the Elven Mage Robes and the Elven Fighter Armor. Below, you can see the Elven Archer Armor. Oh, it's beautiful. It has got a little greenish in it, and looks like, oh, nice leathery-looking armor. Oh, that's beautiful. I like the colors on it. It's nice. Very nice. Yeah. So all you that got that Stretch Goal there are going to have this beautiful armor in your inventory there. Gorgeous stuff. The community reaction to these has been incredibly positive, and players requested the ability to purchase them again because they look so much better than they had originally. However, since we had already expired these items, we could not resell them, so we have created visual variants that are now for sale in the add-on store. These are called Elven Elder Armor, and represent base level armor. Elven Elder Armor, Archer Armor by Shroud of the Avatar. There it is. And there's a little play button, so you can go through and just take a look at front and back of it and run through it. It's beautiful also. It's not green arms. It's got a little different color on it, but it's also beautiful. Very beautiful. I'd venture to say anybody that bought those Elven Stretch Goals is sitting pretty. That stuff is just awesome. So good job there. And so they got pictures here with the play button of the Elven Elder Fighter Armor and the Elven Elder Mage Robes, which I picked those up myself because that's the first robes I've seen. So obviously I'm excited, and I thought they were totally beautiful. That purple one there is gorgeous. I'm curious if you can dye them, though. I have specific colors I like on my robes, so I'm going to play with that. I haven't had a chance to play with anything yet, so I'll be getting in game soon. And then we got now, continue on, the Making of Brittany Estates. Note, Brittany Estates is primarily comprised of city-sized lots and is scheduled to go live in Release 32 from a Dev Plus forum post by Richard Matey. Here is one last post and update of the Brittany Estates before I finish it for next week. So here we go. We got some more awesome pictures of Brittany Estates. Oh, just gorgeous. These fountains, just crazy gorgeous. I haven't seen fountains like this in the game, and I love seeing different varying waters there. You can see, if you're looking at the pictures, you've got a fountain right in the middle that is spewing water out like a geyser. It's awesome. Very nice. And we've got some more beautiful little flowery hedges and some fruit trees, it looks like. Beautiful. Oh, nice little, a very nice little tunnel there going through the water. That's beautiful. And, oh yeah, that's a very nice house. There's a new, it looks like a new Viking home, a little bigger than one I've seen on the store, so that might be. Oh, here it says, note, above is a new Viking stronghold that is part of the new Viking bundle that will go live in Release 32. Ooh-wee, they're starting to tempt us with some more bundles, guys. Oh, it's gorgeous, gorgeous. Oh, I'm dying here. I got to see the inside of that house, too. I love houses like that. It's beautiful. Okay, so here's some more good news for us all that like to buy things for our characters and our towns and our gameplay, etc., etc. Lots of add-on store goodies. New items added to the add-on store this week, including, I'll go through them here. We've got the Elven Elder Fighter Armor, and we've got the Elven Elder Archer Armor, and the Elven Elder Mage Robe, all of which are $20 each. In case you're looking for some of those for your characters, and then we have a telescope. That's very cool. And the telescope is supposed to be a variation of the spyglass that they had in the pledge reward for the boats. So it's a beautiful little telescope. It sits on your balcony there. You can kind of put it somewhere central for a senior city and stuff. If you wanted to, you can just, you know, just put it to look somewhere around a neighborhood. Very nice stuff. And that's $20 as well. And we have a bell tower. Now, from what I gather on this bell tower, you can go up and ring the chimes. There's four. Let me just open it up so I can give you the exact details on that. On the bell tower, because of course I had to get that for my town. It's gorgeous. The beautiful bell tower has 8 bells that can be rung by players, each with a different note. You need a property deed to place it, of course, or it also, it says you can place it in your player-owned town. So, that's so cool, I could scream. So cool, I could scream. I love it. That's why I've got it. So, it's beautiful. And then we have the puke and drunk emotes. Look at that. So, you've got emotes for various things. There's a nice puking visual there. That's beautiful. And that's $15. The bell tower was $50, by the way, if I forgot to mention that. And then we have the fireworks 45-piece assortment. Three. And that's $5. Those are use once type of things. So, for taking a peek at the new fireworks. And then we've got the fireworks 48-piece assortment 4, which is $5 also, which is good for the 4th of July celebration here. And then we have the Cobalt Radiant Energy Coil for $10. That's a nice-looking, almost like an amplifier type of thing, or the Moon Tower type of thing. It's just really nice electrical thing there. And then we have the Cobalt Radiant Energy Capacitor. And that's $10. Another little lit-up item there for your yards or your indoor house or your dungeons or whatever you're creating. That's awesome. And then, oh, look at this. We got the Keep Stone and Timber Split Level 5-Story Basement. There we go. They finally put together our Keep Basement that's a stone and timber. Very nice. Very nice. That's $80 if you want to add some serious space to your keep. And then we also have the 2016 Lord British Replenishing Birthday Cake for $10. Now, remember, the one that was from, they skipped last year, the one that was 2014 is a serious collector item. I was very happy I did buy one. I wish I'd have bought 20 of them, because that was that's a really good collector's item. So yeah, be sure and grab a couple of these 2016s, because those cakes are popular. Plus, it's the only place in game I've ever seen a cake, so I don't know if they're gonna add that to the cooking options, or you can cook a cake and display it, but FYI, or hint hint, I'll say. Always like that. Okay, so that covers that. And we're not done yet here. So now we've got, look, this is awesome. We've got signs. They put signs into the game, and this is the most awesome thing in the world. Now, before I knew you could buy a variant of signs, I found the recipe in the game. And of course, you know, I've got an event coming up, so it's like, I'm going to test these out, see how these work. And it's like, okay, I'm going to buy this blank sign, just because the other ones don't really fit what I'm doing here. And then lo and behold, you can put it on the ground in your town. You can just put it wherever. Couple of restrictions, but it seems to fit in a lot of places. You can go down the road with them, and you can lead your way to your event. But I was thinking, you know, this is just a blank sign. Is that going to really help anybody? Lo and behold, I click on it, and you can type in it. You can actually type a message in this sign, and then when you wave your cursor over it, it says, you know, what you typed. So, wow, this is one of those things I always dreamed of and hoped for, and here it is. So, yeah, this is awesome. So, aside from the ones you can craft, which is just a long wooden pole, the whole thing's wooden. And actually, if you look at it, it looks like you really had a hard time making the thing a square. It's kind of sloppy looking, but it's nice. You know, it's just sloppy looking. It's not in any way a quality crafted item. It's like that's a nice sign, but it's, you know what, you need some practice. That's what I was thinking when I first saw it. But yeah. So we've got these beautiful ones that you can buy on the store. Okay, so players can now place signs on their lots, homes, and player-owned towns. These signs have customizable tooltips that players can use to name their shops, homes, guild halls, taverns, streets, squares, etc. The signs come in 4 materials: plain wooden, fancy wooden, brass, and silver. 3 types: wall, hanging, and ground, and over 45 symbols, including a blank sign. The plain wooden versions are all craftable in the game, while other materials are purchasable in the add-on store. And so when you purchase a group, it comes with 9. So like I got the blank ones, and it comes with 3 of each of the materials. So you get the 3 hangings, the 3 grounds, and the 3 walls. And the wall is just a little plaque, and the ground one's like a signpost, and then the hanging you stick onto a building. And Yeah, they're beautiful. They're totally beautiful, these ones, comparatively. Yeah, you can see why you would want to buy the ones at the store if you want a little more elegance to your sign. So this is just, as far as I'm concerned, it's completely awesome. It's the next best thing to having like a bulletin board you can stick on the wall and put notes on. This is, we're getting there. We're really getting there. This is so awesome. I'm just beside myself in excitement to see this kind of thing in game, because it really does add the ability for us to make our events and our, you know, just calling out our attention to our vendors, all those kind of things, possible. Look at that. So, yeah, just a little good news. And by the way, those are all the signs are $15 a piece for the sets of nine. And the only thing I would say, and I kind of would wish for, would be like one type that has all the different symbols on it that you can buy in a pack, you know. You know, the hanging, the standing, or the hanging, standing, or the wall. Just because, you know, you never know what you're going to need. You might have somebody that needs all the different symbols, and they don't want to have to buy, like, that many kind of packs. I'm just saying, just a little suggestion there. I don't know how that looks, but that would be cool, you know, because I'm thinking, boy, I'd have to buy, like, 40 different packs. It'd just get expensive there. Just saying. Okay. All right. So, here we go. Again, time is running out. The 15% summer bonus and 26-day countdown to summer 2016 expiration event part 1. So as we march toward the final wipe and lot selection milestone, we are having a summer 2016 expiration event split into two parts. The summer 2016 expiration event part 1 at midnight on July 27th, 2016, we are expiring the homes and basements from the Ancestor, Edelman, Knight Marshal, Lord Marshal, Duke, and Lord of the Manor, two pledges. We are also expiring new player-owned towns. Upgrades of existing POTs will continue to be available. All other rewards, including tax-free property deeds that are currently available in the remaining pledges, will continue to be available. The final wipe of all game data will also occur at midnight on July 27th. To commemorate this momentous milestone, we are holding a 12-hour summer telethon part 1 starting at 12 p.m. CDT and running right up to the final wipe midnight CDT. And then we have the summer 2016 expiration event part 2 at midnight CDT time on August 22nd, 2016. We are expiring all remaining pledges, including Adventurer, Founder, Royal Artisan, Explorer, Ancestor, Edelman, Knight Marshal, Lord Marshal, Duke, and Lord of the Manor 2. To commemorate the final expiration of all remaining pledges, we are holding a 12-hour summer telethon part 2 starting on 12 p.m. CDT time and running right up till final pledge expirations at midnight CDT. Get your 15% summer bonus. If you were thinking of purchasing, upgrading a pledge or player-owned town before they expire, now's a great time to do it. For all new purchases, including pledges, pledge upgrades, add-on items, player-owned towns, player-owned town upgrades, make-a-difference items, and service vouchers between 12 a.m. CDT time June 24th and midnight CDT time August 22nd, we will add an additional 15% bonus to your store credit. So then now is the time. As you can see, the store is full. It's just brimming right now with stuff to buy. So this is the time to buy it. 15% will be added, so you'll get some store credit for everything you buy. So if you spend $100, 15 bucks is yours. You can buy more stuff, you know, simple as that. And I mean, I just spent a bunch today, and I'm going to spend some more later because this store is killing me. I mean, there are so many awesome things. As a matter of fact, I've never seen a store this awesome. Just for those of you that like to buy a lot of stuff for your house, for your player, for your anything, it's just, it's awesome. It's just a buyer's dream is all I can say. It's just gorgeous. So take advantage of that 15%. If you were ever thinking about buying anything off the store, this is the time to do it. 15% is awesome. It's the biggest percentage that I've seen on a game. So it's good. Very good. All right. So continuing on, we have the Sword of Midras Soda novel for hardcover, Kindle, Nook, and audiobook. The Sword of Midras by Tracy Hickman and Richard Garriott is a revised and expanded version of the Blade of the Avatar novel, originally included in pledge rewards through May 31st, 2015. The expanded The Sword of the Midras includes four additional chapters not seen in the pledge reward version of Blade of the Avatar, extending and elaborating on key elements of the story. The release date is June 21st, 2016 by Tor Books. The hardcover, Kindle, and Nook versions by Tor Books are available now at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Okay, good. So they're available. Good stuff. Release date for the unabridged audiobook version is on July 12th, 2016, with pre-orders available now at audible.com. And there's a sample here of the audiobook on SoundCloud that you can play through and just check out the voicing, see if it's the kind of voicing you like in your books. And a good voice to a book is very important. I've listened to a number of audiobooks myself, and some people that voice the books are just extremely talented. They could do the voices, the different emotions. They can really make the book into a movie. It's just awesome. So, yeah, definitely something that's important to check out is the voicing on a book. Make sure you're going to like it. All right, so note, the original Blade of the Avatar novel has already been delivered as an electronic PDF to all pledges prior to May 31st, 2015, when it expired. For those who qualify for this reward, you can find the link to the PDF on your SOTA website account page special rewards tab for download. The physical and signed versions of the novel that are rewards at the Patreon and Citizen level up through May 31st, 2015 will be a paperback print version of the original Blade of the Avatar novel that has been delivered as an electronic PDF. For this physical reward, will be delivered to backers at the same time that all physical rewards are delivered, which we currently expect will be toward the end of this year. Some backers have asked if they will receive the Sword of Mithras or the four additional chapters that were written for it as a part of their Blade of the Avatar novel pledge reward. Unfortunately, Portalarium is contractually not at liberty to distribute the Sword of Mithras or additional chapters in print or electronic form as part of our original pledge rewards. This was a requirement in order to procure a mass market book publishing agreement with a major book publisher. We felt the mass market distribution of the Sword of Mithras was critically important to help increase the worldwide exposure of Shroud of the Avatar. If the Sword of Mithras is successful, it will help introduce many new readers to our game and potentially bring them in as new players, which is a long-term benefit for the game and the community. So very important to remember that if you are concerned or upset about not getting the expanded novel as part of your rewards. So just a little good info there. All right, so we have here now some upcoming events. So on July the 7th, 2016, we have the Release 31 post-mortem livestream at 3 p.m. CDT time with Blood. And on July 27th, we have the Summer Telethon Part 1, Pledge Homes, BOT Explorations, Final Wipe at Midnight. And then on July 28th, we have Release 32 Lot Selections. And then on August 22nd, we have the Summer Telethon Part 2 and Final Pledge Explorations Episode 1, Pledge Explorations at Midnight. And then on August 25th, we have Release 33. On August 26th, we have SyndCon 2016. On September the 2nd, we have DragonCon 2016. On September the 21st, we have the Austin Games Conference. And then on September 29th, we have Release 34. And then community activities. Visit the official community calendar to see the great lineup of activities our amazing community has planned for this weekend. And be sure to check out the Release 30 events thread in the SOTA forums for additional events. And the event of the week is the Welcome Quest, an archaeology event mashup. The weekend quest showcases many of the player-owned and player-ran towns in New Britannia. Come for unique events in each town. We rotate towns between each welcome quest. Sometimes we quest on the overland map to cover a larger area. We are visiting the Celtic holdfast Darabray. A small piece of bone was discovered while creating our Scarabray replica house. We have dismantled that house and the pavilion and have begun our dig site. You are invited to help us finish the dig and discover what's there. The event is part of the Lord British Birthday Weekend celebration of events this weekend. Come and enjoy some virtual cake. We will spend a few minutes honoring our liege, Lord British, before the dig starts. You can teleport to Gregor, who will be available 30 minutes before the event. If adventure is more your style, travel to Asylum Island. Ferries are available from Quell and Longfall. Then, in the crescent opening on the south side of the island, is Darabray. See original post for additional details. So that sounds like a lot of fun as well. And I have some more information on the the events here. I think I'll talk about that now because this is also related to that event, and I didn't see it posted here, probably because it's not firmly set in stone, but we have a little bit set in stone here I'm going to talk about here. The New Britannia Theater Troupe presents a listening party on July 3rd at 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. New Britannia time. Avatars Radio will be playing the developer edition of Avatars Chronicles. The developers actually have speaking parts, including Lord British, Darkstar, Fire Lotus, and Stephen Danielli, as part of the A Day of Honor, King's Day celebrations, the celebration of Lord British's birthday. Please go to Wizard's Rest to listen. There will be signs, the new awesome writable signs, which I was putting down, pointing the way from the entrance to the central part of town, next to the Crafting Pavilion. You can also friend and then zone to Baldrith, that'd be me, if you want a faster trip, because I shall be there. And also, there are many other, I went to the post here, and I got many other events for this special celebration. I'm hoping these are all accurate, but they're, as of right before I started this, were written down on the post. So July 1st, which I think this is probably already done, will be the Fire Lotus Party at White Hard from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And July 2nd, we have Wake Up New Britannia, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And Church of the Dark Star, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Welcome Quest, an archaeology event we just talked about here at Dara Bray, 12 p.m. Port Phoenix Social Night at 6 p.m. And then July 3rd, we have a tournament for the King by Order of Vengeance at 1 p.m. And then, of course, we have our New Britannia Theater Troupe listening party from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then on July 4th, we have A Quest of Love by the Order of Vengeance at 10 a.m. Lord British Birthday Bash at Cair Draywich from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. A Golden Wing Birthday Bash in Radio City at 7 p.m. Happy birthday to Golden Wing as well. And there will be a stag hunt with Bowen Bloodgood to be announced. Keep an eye on the forums for more updated info. And also check the forum post periodically because as far as I know, that stuff's not all completely set in stone. I think our New Britannia Theater Troupe thing is set in stone, though, so that's why I wanted to go into some detail on it and make sure that there's enough people there, or some people will come. I've got five sets of bleachers up right now. I think that'll hold quite a few people. I've never seen a listening party go beyond filled three bleacher set, so I think I got overkill there. So that'll be fun. Very fun stuff. All right, so good stuff there. So now we've got here some community resources. Player helping players. The official SOTA New Players Welcome Forum and the Player Created Resources Forum have the best player created resources for Shroud of the Avatar. Whether it's a player written guide, a video walkthrough, or wiki type website. Now the resource of the week is The Role Players of the Avatar, R-P-O-T-A. Role Players of the Avatar is a social environment where you will find a creative outlet for story writing and adventure creation. We are a community which feeds your desire to be someone else. A crazed barbarian, a cunning scoundrel, maybe a quirky wizard, or perhaps a mysterious assassin. Visit the official community resources page for complete listing. And I know by personal experience that's a good website because I've got my profile of my character on there, and it's fun just to go crazy and create your character the way that you see your character. So it's fun stuff. All right, so we have the status of ONBE shipments. The Order of the New Britannian Empire, ONBE, awards are now shipping to our amazing community recipients. There are still several recipients that have not updated mailing addresses, information on their accounts. If you are expecting an ONBE, please do this now. We are also sending out emails to ensure we have the correct address. Please check that support@portalarium.com is unblocked from your email account to receive these emails. Visit SOTA Wiki for a current list of those who have received or are expecting ONBE. So yeah, be sure. Yeah, that's something you should be sure of if you're receiving mail from Portalarium, like at least each week for the updates, then there's something wrong because they do send it to each of the accounts related to your different characters. So you should definitely be getting at least one per week. That's at least one. So make sure of that. All right, so back speaking on the same terms, here we got backing shipping addresses. In preparation for shipping the backers' physical pledge rewards later this year, we have added shipping addresses fields to the account profile page. To enter your shipping address, log in to the SOTA website, select count in the top right corner, then select Edit Profile located in the top left corner beneath your avatar image. For country and regional tax assessment purposes, our tax accountants have requested that we start collecting a buyer's physical shipping address for all purchases. Whether digital or physical, we've tried to streamline the process as much as possible, such that once you've entered a physical address, we will pre-populate the fields with your default address. A reminder to please be sure that support at Portalarium.com is unblocked from your email account. So, yeah, make sure. Check your junk mail, you know, if you're not getting something, see what's going on there. All right, so good stuff there. All right, so now we got here recommended projects to back. We've got Light Eaters. Here's the latest from BrightLocker, the first crowd publishing platform for games. BrightLocker was launched by fellow ex-Originites Mark Rizzo and Ruben Cortez, members of the original Ultima Online Network ops team from back in the day. The first game, Light Eaters, just launched and is now available through the App Store. Light Eaters is the first game fully integrated with the BrightLocker platform. That means when you earn rewards, achievements, and digital currency by playing Light Eaters, you can spend these on the platform to help select and crowdfund the next game that you want to play. Explore the perils and pitfalls of the night with the help of your trusty flashlight in this whimsically spooky platform adventure game. You'll need wits, speed, and the power of your imagination to navigate through the dark, defeat traps and puzzles, and evade the enemies in your way. A huge thanks to everyone who participated in the first 5 semifinal voting rounds. Round 6 is open, so get those votes in for your favorite video game ideas and submit an idea yourself. It could be chosen to make into an actual game. The finals begin soon, where the top finalists from each round are pitted against each other. BrightLocker will choose an idea from the top vote getters from this round to develop into an actual game. Oh, that's very cool. I've never heard of that. That's cool that you can be involved in creating again just from your idea. That's awesome. All right, so good stuff there. And then once again, we'll talk about the Zounce Kickstarter Shroud of the Avatar special. We're excited to announce that Zounce is offering a free Shroud of the Avatar style when you support their unique speaker system Kickstarter campaign. The Zounce system is fantastic at delivering great sound, looks really cool wherever it's placed, and supports custom themes, including a really sweet Shroud of the Avatar theme. We even have a soda-styled Zounce in our office. So that is very cool stuff. So be sure and take a look. So I think I've covered all of the news for this week. Wow, there was a lot of it too, wasn't there? Including a new release is always a big deal and always exciting to get into. So I hope to see you all at the birthday bash there, a listening party. And I'm excited about that. I got a little more decorating to do and try to make it fine. I'm not the world's best decorator, so I don't expect anything with building blocks or anything fun like that, like you see from some of these awesomely creative people out there. But definitely the listening party. It's going to be a great story. I haven't heard this in a while. I listened to it a few times, but it's an awesome play by great Gabriel Nightshadow. Don't forget, he's an awesome, awesome writer that does a lot of our work. And the devs did a great job on their parts, very good, and so did all of the cast. From 2014, we did this thing, so it's really good, and I think you will all enjoy it and have plenty of laughs and plenty of chills, because we have some really good voice acting on this story. And here's the list of the cast I've got here. We've got Sir Style Teakle, Prevents the Avatar's Chronicles. 1, Return of the Avatar, directed and produced by Lord Baldrith, writer and music supervisor Gabriel Nightshadow, casting director and court jester Time Lord, assistant casting director and director of public relations Amber Rain. The cast is Lord Baldrith as Nistel, Lord Baldrith, Mingo, and General Ruko. Asclepius as Coruseth, Malgor, the mighty Demon Lord Argax, Henry, Morgan, Brian, and Groot. Amber Rain as young and adult Sharia and Amber Rain. Stephen Danielli as Marius. Stephen Danielli as Samuel. Gina Dion as Fire Lotus. Joe Garrity as Gabriel Nightshadow. Static Grazer as Lord Shadowrain. Avatar Acid as Theodric. Carlin the Archer as Carlin. Dame Lori as Jessica and Catherine, Cammy as Sister Agnes and Larenth, Sir Cabrius as Hans and Gunther, Lacrobat as Master Jonir, Sir Charles Campbell, enemy and group, Chips 36 as Merrick, teenage boy and group, Elizabeth as Dragonlord Sihoban, Sarah and group, Thornrage as Dragonlord Jero, or Aki and Robert, Brian D. Taylor as the enemy commander, David Peters as Guard Bob, Trinzik as the tall albino man, Majoria 70 as Vastra and Lady Arabella, Duke Gregor as Duke Garen and the original Avatar, Dwalin Bruckberg as Christopher Nightshadow, Sir Style Teakle as the mayor of Adoris, Indy Martin as Lantherthel and Anise, and Stephen J. Goldman as John. And starring Richard Garriott as Lord British and Beric of the Old Gods, Star Long as Lord Darkstar and Red Badger, and Asclepius is also the great story weaver. So very awesome cast there. But definitely go there and have fun. So that should do it for the news. I will take us out. The awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teakle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on Avatars Radio. This is Lord Baldrith with Echoes from the Caverns.